Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for this time, and we pray, Lord, that this be a special time. One day before long, there's going to come a time on the other side when the church gets there, and it's going to come together for such an event as this, the Lord's Supper. Remind us of what God has done for us, and the fact that we brought to attention the reality of what it meant. Until that day comes, we thank you for the time we have tonight to have this event take place, that we might come to the throne of grace, realize to take of it freely through Jesus Christ, and by knowing that we know him as Savior, be forgiven for our sin, just like we were the day we got saved. And Lord, I think you understood as you looked at time and this flesh rubbing elbows with flesh, fallen, never be able to enter into the heaven with the body of flesh we have now, understood what it would do to us in this life. We had to be brought to remembrance, to do as often as we do, to remember what the Lord did for us. He paid the price in turn that we might have the privilege to be called children of God. And we thank you for that tonight. Bless this event to our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. I'm not going to preach tonight. I know you don't believe that. If I get preaching, just let me preach. Amen. But I'm not going to preach, but I want to go back. This is simple. We've done it many times. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And before I read this, I want to just do this. I don't know if you do this at times. Sometimes I just think on something that's going to happen in the future, what it'd be like. There's a lot of concern that people try to tell us what's going to happen over there at the marriage supper of the Lamb, who's going to serve who's going to serve what. I know this, though, the child of God, who's been redeemed and washed in the blood of the Lamb, this side of eternity will be there. I know this, that saints of God will understand for the first time, more so than we ever understood in this flesh, what it meant to be called a child of God. I know this, there's nothing on this earth that's ever happened to be as splendid as that will be. The angels who sing, like they sing and bring glory and honor to God, down through the time that we've been here and through eons in the past, ever since they were created, will never be able to sing a song of amazing grace like the saints of God will. And I believe there's going to be a time when we sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ sat at the head table, and God the Father sat, and wherever he sat over that, and those who were be the ones who deliver and give the cup and the bread, we will have this marriage supper of the Lamb done there in that time when Jesus heads it up. I can't help believe that when we understand reality, now we see by faith. And to you and I in the flesh, you know, a cup seems like just grape juice. How can that mean anything? When in our mind, we know it means the blood of Christ, but then we're going to see why. We're going to understand things we never understood. In that day, we'll see the bread as being the body of Christ. We do that by faith now. We believe that. When you try to tell it to somebody, they can't get it. We know this, though. It represents the body of Christ. But then we're going to see him. And we're going to see things that in him is everything that represents what we're going to take of here tonight. And God's going to honor us because we obey him, even in our giving of the Lord's Supper, as we call it here, as we do it four times a year, every fifth Sunday night. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in my mind, I think sometimes, and this is what I see, I sit alone and try to visualize, and all I can do is just see what my mind can give, and I know what God has promised much greater than that. And I think about it sometimes. Maybe you don't. But I think about what a joy it would be to be in there in that portals of glory and see all the saints of God. How they're placed, I don't care as far as Old Testament, New Testament, church, Israel. It don't make no difference to me. I know this. Every one of us are saved and washed in the same blood. One way did it. One way is a cover until the time came. Jesus paid the sin debt for all the Old Testament saints, all the New Testament saints, all the tribulation saints. No one will ever get to heaven without trusting Christ as their personal Savior in the method that God said do it in their timetable. And I know this, there's going to be a lot there, but there's going to be a lot more in hell. But when we think about that time and look across the audience, no telling where we'll be at. I think we'll be sitting. I think it's going to be a great banquet type way. I think it's going to be the greatest singing you ever heard. And no doubt the saints of God in the age of grace are going to sing something about redemption, because you and I understand that. We know this, the Old Testament has songs that they sung, but they didn't understand redemption like we do. They did because what God said do, When they did what God said do, the sin was atoned for, passed on to Jesus King. Isn't it a wonderful thing to live on this side, to look back and know our sin today is not only atoned for, even though if it was, God would still pay for it through His Son, but it's been paid for. We live on the side to know our sin's been paid for. Jesus paid it all. All to Him He deserves, and our heart should be to Him. And you think with there, when you see the saints of God, not only see those that will be us here, not only see our own family who will be there, but sometimes when I say that, people say, well, I can't believe I could enjoy heaven if my family won't there. And I thought many times, how can you answer that? And the greatest statement I could give is simply this. I don't care who your family is, your mother, your dad, your child, your whatever it is, you will never love them like God loved them. And I believe with all my heart, somehow or another, when we stay there, the standard will be right. God will be seen as judge right, and there will be no feelings at all about where they might be at. If anything, it might just race from a mind. But we will enjoy those who are there. Our families that are there will enjoy. But wait a minute, not only our families, but the whole family of God is our family. That's where you now lose it. Someone said, well, I sure love to know if my baby or my child or my mother or my dad or my brother or my sister or so-so or my granddad, so forth. I'd really like to know that I'd be able to see them. I know this. God has promised us that if you're saved, you're going to be there. Revelation 19, you can't get away from that. We'll be clothed in white linen as the righteousness of the saints which God has clothed us with. So we will be there based on God's promises. But on the other hand, when we get there and we see someone missing, no one, God doesn't tell us how that's going to bear on us. But one thing is for sure. He says, by the time we get there, there'll be no tears. Whatever it might be, we're going to see, not when just to get the marriage supper of the Lamb, but when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, I think is where we're going to see tears. That we could have done more and didn't do it. Tears of sorrow that we didn't get what God said about service and so forth. And I can't prove that, but I know this. He says He'll wipe away the tears. And so I believe with all my heart that before we can go in through the marriage supper of the Lamb, the tears will be wiped away, even though it's later when He saw the New Jerusalem coming down that John talked about that, the tear has been wiped away from my eyes. One thing is for sure, every one of us will sing on key then. The new glorified body. Nobody will sing any better than each other, and it'd be the best we can give, and it'd be in a glorified state. And just think of thousands upon thousands, maybe hopefully millions upon millions, who may have trillions, hopefully, trillions upon trillions of saints of God in that great arena there, singing praise. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It may not mean much to you, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think what I feel now, what I see God's done for me, I don't think in the glorified body, but I help when I see it as it is, not through eyes of faith. I see it as it is. I think there'll be shouting and glory in ways you've never heard of before because we're there. Not only are we going to be looking around, we're going to see people we didn't think going to be there that are there. And you're going to see people you thought going to be there is not going to be there because it isn't a matter of what we see. It's a matter of what's happening in the heart. And Satan's a mastermind. If he can transform his ministers and angels of light, if he can transform himself in angels of light, and Paul said he could, he can transform his ministers and angels of light. What I'm saying, when we get there, we're going to see things as they are. And when we do, it's going to be a glorious time. And I can't help believe that the first time, maybe the first time, when we ever partake of the cup and partake of the bread there, to symbolic of what Christ did for us, I can't help believe in a glorified body for the first time we'll realize we're there. No more heartaches, no more trouble, we're there. And it's all because of Him. It's all because of Him sitting on the throne, all because of Him. That God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus paid the price, so He will be the one we'll see the most at that moment because He paid the price. God lets Him be seen. He said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He's who He is for the glory of God. And that will be done. We've done that here, and because we did that, we'll be there. So tonight we're reading about what He said would happen and what we're supposed to do. And Paul says he got this from the Lord. He said in verse 23 of chapter 11, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. Now, where did he receive that? He was not with the apostles when he gave that upper room that night. He got saved later on the road to Damascus. But when you read over there where he went 3.5 years and stayed in Asia Minor, I believe that's where God gave him the information. And God's Son appeared to him He was an apostle, so he had to be with Christ somewhere on the way. The only problem was, he was with Christ in a resurrected form over there, being taught the things of God. And that's what he tells us in this verse. So he has a right to be called an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had lived with him, seen him, heard from him, identified with him, been sent by him as an apostle. Now, that's the reason why in this age, I don't know if you understand this, why in this age we're living in now, I don't think there is such a thing as an apostle. In the sense of how they look at it as a follower of Christ, maybe. But in the sense of the New Testament, there's only been those who would with Christ and saw him give that name. All others are disciples, followers of him. I believe that with all my heart. There's a lot of folks today will tell you, hey, I believe the word apostle sent one, that's who I am, God sent me, called me, sent me, may be true. But I want you to know the apostle Paul is an apostle because Christ taught him personally, I believe, in Asia Minor. I know this, when he went into Asia Minor, he came out different because he learned a lot of things, and the stuff that he gave us with inspiration of the Holy Spirit started there. When he said, give thanks, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. That says to me, the Lord himself personally gave him this, though he wasn't there in the night at this time, which was 26 years before in Matthew 26, when Jesus had the Lord's Supper there with his disciples. So he said, take, eat this in my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped and said, this cup is the New Testament, is my blood. In my blood, this do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So that says to me, if I say that I'm witness for Christ, if I say that I'm doing something for the Lord, one thing is for sure, when I come and take the bread and drink the cup, I am given in demonstration obedience to him. I don't have to say anything about it, I want to, but he says, I am showing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's what this is. And he tells me that here at this time. You do show the death till he comes. Positive. Wherefore, he said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Then I like verse 28. Watch. But let a man examine himself. Now, wait a minute. Note the word himself. Let the man examine himself. Not somebody else, but himself. What does that mean? And then he said, let the man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, what would follow after let a man examine himself? You say, oh, well, it's talking about the child of God examining himself before sin, confess it. It may be, but I think it goes deeper than that. See, God is telling this is only belong to the family of God. And we have open communion here simply because I know that nowadays, used to, you had more closed communion than open, but now it's a mobile society. And far as I'm concerned, God taught me years ago, I may be a Baptist, but I don't care if a child of God, if a person been born into the family of God, wherever they live at, they're still my brother and sister in Christ. I'm a Christian by birth. I'm a Baptist by choice. Amen. And by the way, it's Bible choice. It's Bible choice. Now, I'm not saying the Baptists are always right. We got some Baptists that are about as bad as some of the others. But what I'm talking about is, though, it's by choice. By the way, that's the way it is with anyone else. If you're either born again in the family of God by birth, become a Christian by birth, and then be whatever they are labeled otherwise by choice. But why would I say that? Well, may I show you one verse of Scripture, what I believe that may go beyond just the fact that one judged himself. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 with me, let's look at what God said about examining himself. Notice Paul said here that God said, let every man examine himself. Every man, individual, examine himself. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, examine yourself. There it is again. Examine yourself. Why would he say that? Whether, watch this, you be in the faith, or you can say or not. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not in the faith, you might put. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? He said, I trust that you should know that we're not reprobates. Our life proves that. Reprobate, as I've said many times, is a perverted mind that God cannot approve of. It's one who deals with one's own speculations about Jesus Christ, and it's not biblical. And so when I see let him examine himself, first of all, he said, be sure you say. This is for the family. It's not for the devil's crowd. It's for the family. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. And then notice he said, and then let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. Because, you see, if you're in the faith, examine yourself about that, and you have affirmative, you're going to examine yourself about taking this, because you realize you can't be in the faith with Christ without being right. If something wrong, then God will help us make it right when we take of this, because it's dangerous. On the other hand, you hear me say that at times when there's things that you have made right and may not, and that may have something in another place. If you, as long as you know in your heart it's right, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. And God helps us do that. How do we do it? Confess it before the Lord. And then he said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh the damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And you and I can't measure that, but I wonder how many times this has been a criteria in life, in people's life, that God said because they simply just disobeyed God. He said, boy, God loves us the way we do that. Folks, listen, don't get so mixed up on the love of God to think that God is not going to punish because of sin. If it's not under the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be tough on those who try to, their self-righteousness, make their peace with God by through their own self-righteousness. And then he goes on, he said, for if we judge ourselves, that's what it comes about. We judge ourselves, we're a child of God. What is that? Find the scriptures. Have I done that? Have I this it? Has this made a difference in my life? And then he goes on and says that if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But then he reminds us when we're judged, we're chastened. Now watch, when we didn't say that, he's not talking about those at the great white throne, judge me. He's not talking about those unsaved. He's talking about we. Paul included himself here. And if you know good and well, if anybody was saved, Paul was saved. And he said, if we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord. That's where I talked about this morning. If the just man shall fall seven times, but he'll get up. Because it's the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God in him and her that will bring to the point to let them know whether they're really saved or not saved. And then he goes on, he says, are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm glad of that. God says as a child of God, what I do to my own will be to chasten them. And that means set forth to set straight with some type of direction in turn that where they never would be condemned with the world. Where is the condemnation of the world, ladies and gentlemen? Great white throne judgment. The world will never be redeemed. It's those in the world that are redeemed who trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So tonight, thank you for being here. It's a time of refreshing, a time of obedience, and as we come to go to the Lord, it doesn't matter if it's, no matter who it is, it's a time when God really blesses us for obeying Him, or being my family or out of my family. This is something that is so precious that one ought to be able to say, Lord, at least I will do this a few times a year because you said to. Not because the church said we're going to do it, not because the preacher got up and said we're going to have it, but you said for us to do it. It must mean more than most people think about. So tonight we bow our heads and then we'll get into it. I believe God would have us as individual. Now I stand by Him, along with Him, before Him, in the power of the Spirit of God. And ask God to examine me, because I have a lot of hats. I have a hat as a pastor, as a husband, as a dad, as a friend, even as a son, but my parents are gone now. A lot of hats. And every one of those places need to be examined. To be sure first that I'm a child of God, because I can't examine the others unless I am a child of God. And then ask God to help me, now that I settle the fact that I'm a child of God, help me deal with the other errors of life that I need to deal with. And Lord, is when I do that, in my heart and mind, do my best to try to set it straight or right, then the Holy Spirit would give us assurance that we can take of this cup and this bread without any fear of anything else. Our Father, Lord, there's so much we don't know, but we act upon that which we do. And now the night we come before you humble, knowing and in our hearts saying what we know, we need you so much. In every aspect of our life, every dad, every mother, every child, every person in relationships here, everything where we work at, dealing with people, every way we turn, we have things to deal with. And we need you, Lord. Help us spend the time in the book to know some things about you, how you deal with us, and then at this time realize, Lord, we can come before you at the privilege of the child of God and plead the blood of Christ and confess the individual sin if it's there, and God will cleanse us. Lord, is there something maybe we didn't know? We certainly hadn't arrived as yet. It amazes me how people sometimes think that they're so forgiven of everything that they don't even know all that happens in this body at times. The mentality, the attitude. Sometimes it's not just the event. It's the way the event takes place, the mentality, the attitude of something. Lord, this thing of sin is just beyond an act. And Lord, we just pray somehow or another this will be a time you give us that we will come and ask for the cleansing that's needed. We can't make ourselves worthy, Lord, but we can let you make us worthy, being honest with you. And please help us that tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.